Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our live radio broadcast. This is Cheryl Catherine Smith and
Ash Riot.
The Riot. We are Hologram, and you are listening to the Hologram Radio Show here on Sunday evening, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're coming to you live from White Rock, British Columbia, where it is currently snowing.
It's snowing quite a bit.
It just started, actually.
Wow.
So we're just discussing as we're listening to the intro. Ash is telling me she's never driven in the snow. She's afraid.
I finally have my own van.
Yay!
Thanks to George Schramm.
Thanks, George.
Thanks. And I've never driven in the snow even once. Well, I've been a passenger, but I've never, ever driven it, ever. And I got to meet my student, Eliza. Tomorrow, I got to pick her up at the bus stop. Like, and I'm like, oh no, like I'm responsible for another life. So,
well, this is an appropriate show then, because our show is called The Dilemma of Doubt.
Oh,
so there you go. You're doubting your abilities as a snow driver.
Well, you've driven with me before and I'm pretty good, but not in the snow.
Well, I mean, you're a new driver. Ash waited a long time before she got her license.
I'm a late bloomer.
She's a late bloomer. And I actually learned how to drive in the snow when I first started driving in parking lots when they were deserted. And I would drive my then boyfriend, soon after husband's sports car in the parking lots when they were snow filled, and we would just do wheelie, like donuts and everything. It was fun. So it's the best way, actually. I learned how to drive in the snow is you learn how to, you know, turn into the spin and all that. So
no.
Let's just have faith and no doubt.
I work tomorrow.
That you will be fine.
No.
In the snow. Now, this is a show that we've tried to do before, right, Ash?
We've tried to do this about four times, but we have not done a live show, seriously, in probably about a month and a half.
Yeah, it must be.
And maybe even more. Because it's just been so, so busy.
Well, when we initially started doing the show, we had wind problems.
Yeah.
Remember that? Yeah. So we had a very, like, quite a windstorm, and it just kind of blew the internet out. So,
And now we're sitting by a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting with my back right against a fire.
Uh-huh.
In a huge, gorgeous, huge apartment that is Cheryl's.
Yeah.
And
it's all good.
And it's snowing.
It's snowing. It's nice to be here by the fire. And, we were preparing for the show. Another reason why we couldn't get the show to you guys is I had a birthday, so that was on the 18th, and we ran a rerun, and we've had all sorts of things come up. But now we're happy to be here, and we can finally discuss
the dilemma of doubt.
The dilemma of doubt, and we both feel very strongly that this is a pertinent subject. I think it's something that is we can all identify with, can we not?
Most people can identify with doubt.
And if they're telling you they don't, I think they're lying.
They're probably lying.
False bravado.
They're lying. They're just like, yeah, I never doubt anything.
Okay. I never doubt anything. I, you know, there's nothing I can't do. And I think it's really great for us to get into a headspace where we are in, you know, there, that we're very full of confidence and a sense of connection to ourselves and to, you know, our purpose and to the world. But, I mean, it has to be authentic. It can't be ego-driven or based in, based in ego, based in something that's not real. It's just a facade.
Yep.
So how do we get there? We're going to talk about doubt in sequence, and we invite you to call in. And
call in, please.
Share your own story. Or you just something comes up for you, then feel free to call us. Ash has made an offer.
Yep. If you call in tonight, you get, well, see, I'm just being nice. I think it's Christmas. It's the spirit,
it's
and I want to give
to look
you
a lot like Christmas.
A free MP3 of Hologram. So if you call in, you get a free Hologram MP3 of our latest single. So please, 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 please listen in and call for fun because you get a present.
Yeah. And, you know, we might even record that. That's quite interesting what you just saying.
I don't know.
We'll call it Get a Present Song.
Okay.
By Hologram. When we started our show last time, I had a Buddha quote, so I found it again. And I'm going to read it to you all because I think it's spectacular, and I just posted it on my Facebook page. There is nothing more dreadful than the habit of doubt. Doubt separates people. It is a poison that disintegrates friendships and breaks up pleasant relations. It is a thorn that irritates and hurts. It is a sword that kills.
Hmm.
Now, this is really interesting when you think that Buddha was around between the 563 and 483, long, long time ago.
Buddha is a cool cat.
I like Buddha.
Buddha's
I really
nifty.
Dig him.
quote us on that. Buddha's nifty. I dig him.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so I'm big, for those of you who know me, I'm big on quotes, and because I find a lot of wisdom in people who have lived before, and nothing changes. If you take a look at history and historically how we are as humanity, nothing really changes, just the cars we drive and maybe the houses we live in and the cities that we live in. But, you know, ancient history and from to now, you look historically at things that have happened, like war and situations between people and just dilemmas of family. It's all the same. It's just, we're just kind of going through the same things with different technology now. And
it's amazing how things happen so fast, too. I mean, even with technology, like we were just talking to Dawn about the video,
yeah.
even having video on the internet. Like
PBS Radio now is sporting a video for their...
Which is great.
Artists, to broadcast live via video.
With so many conveniences and so much advancement, like, it's like, whoa. It
gives you more concern and more doubt, maybe.
And more assurance. Because let me tell you.
Let me tell you. You tell us.
Let me tell you.
I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm waiting with bated breath.
Okay. I think that the more we progress, like, the more it makes room for... Not really, I'll say doubt, but I'll just say questioning, because it's kind of like lately I've been thinking about that too. Like, we've been reading so much about, you know, technology. Oh, look, there's the latest iPhone 5. And then you turn the page or that you change the station, they're talking about shootings. And It's just so much. I feel as we progress, we're kind of regressing. And I don't know. I just, that's kind of where my mind has been the past couple days, especially gearing up for today's show, is like, really, when is doubt too much and when is it healthy? Because I mean, even in the past few days, like how sad it's been about the shooting in Connecticut.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I really am starting to feel like there's just too much uncertainty in the world. And instead of maybe trying to fight it, trying to find betterment, we're kind of just falling into the trap a little easier with the media.
Well, I agree. I mean, that's fear-mongering, and there's not much difference between doubt and fear. They're pretty much synonymous. There's, you know, our doubts are based in fear. You know, when we doubt, for example, we have self-doubt. So usually self-doubt will come from a fear of usually making wrong decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So we doubt ourselves or our abilities. We think we're not going to be able to do or perform the outcome that we're hoping for, right? That's where the doubt comes from. And you're talking about not only individual, like our self-doubt, but going out into the world. And how can we, you think about the parents and the families traumatized by, that's just an example of many. I read a list of shootings since Kent State in the United States that are affiliated with schools, whether they're elementary, high schools, or universities, that there have been quite an extensive amount of shootings and deaths since the 60s. And
there's been a lot. I've heard about that too.
Yeah, and so how do you, if you have that direct experience, if you're one of those parents of those little six-year-old children that were killed, or you're, you know, the husband of one of the teachers, when you're in that situation, how do you start to actually have faith? Because the opposite of doubt would be faith and trust. How would you turn, you know, a darker situation into something where you can actually have faith and trust in the future? And that's the thing, is being able to take anything that happens to us in our lives and not allow it to scar us so deeply that we lose faith and trust, mm-hmm. and even a desire to go on.
Yeah.
In this
life. Well, it's sad too, because R.I.P. my beautiful Bucky.
Yes.
My cat, or my family's cat, who was 17. He just passed away the day of the shootings.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, you know, it was weird that it was the same day. It was like, I just mm-hmm. heard about that. Then beautiful Bucky passed away. And so, yeah, this show is dedicated to you, Poorar.
One of his many nicknames.
He has so many.
Yeah, it's sad. I mean, you lose a pet and it's not just a cat. It's not just, it becomes a part of your daily life and becomes a part of your daily expression because you talk to them like little people.
Yeah.
Right?
And but it was weird that day though, like mourning that and then the shooting. I mean, I don't even, I, you know what I want to mention though? Like this is kind of off topic, but I'll just keep it really short about another shooting. Do you remember the Batman, the Dark Knight?
Very vaguely.
Do you remember the man? It was in Colorado. And he went in the theater and shot everyone?
Oh, that one. Yeah. Premiere.
Yeah, yes. The premiere.
Yes, I do.
See, that one, it was all around the media so much. Like, every day, all the time. And then all of a sudden, one day, it just dropped off. And no one talked about it
for
a while.
No one talks about it anymore.
No one. And I don't...
That was an atrocity, too.
And that was a really bad one. And, I mean, things like Columbine, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera... That was talked about for years, and it just was so weird, and it just seemed fishy to me.
Well, there's a lot
of things. I've been doubting it.
There's a lot of things. You know, the thing that when I was looking at, you know, preparing for the show, and listen and reading different people's take on doubt, I something came up that was really interesting to me. It was we have to ask ourselves. You're talking about doubting. Mm-hmm. That specific situation as to what are the merits, like what really went on, who was that guy?
Yeah.
Was it a government? Like we can get into conspiracy too. Was it a government decreed thing that mm-hmm. kind of got swept under the rug because you know, who knows what their agenda was or whose agenda? We're not even going to get into that. We can have a whole other show on conspiracy theories, but.
Which we should.
But the reason why I'm bringing that up is that you're doubting that. There are two different places that doubt can come from. One would be your instinct, mm-hmm. and the other would be your fear, the fear part of you.
Yeah.
And it's important to kind of differentiate between the two because, for example, if you're in a situation and you, and I've talked about this before, and you're with a certain individual and there's you're just not feeling right, something doesn't feel right. You're doubting your safety. Now, that could be an instinctual doubt, and you need to listen to it, and you need to pay attention and remove yourself from that situation. How many times have people pushed away their instinctive doubt, going, it seems on the surface that everything should be cool and fine. The instinct says no, but the mind gets in there and just plays with you and go, "What? Well, I don't know why you say no. This guy looks like he's a perfect gentleman. Why would you feel unsafe around him, for example, right?" Mm-hmm. So being able to differentiate between a doubt that comes from your instinct and a doubt that comes from just a fear place.
Look at last night when we were DJing.
Yeah.
And we were DJing and there's this just awesome guy who was just very drunkly flirtatious and he wanted to get us drinks.
Yes.
And we were kind of saying, I wonder if he's going to put anything in the drinks. We told him we don't drink. So either alcohol or who knows. And that was kind of instinct. I felt like he wouldn't, but I doubted at first because there's something a little shady.
That's a good example. Yeah. And I'll tell you where my doubt comes from because that's happened to me before.
Yeah.
I've been in a situation where my drink was spiked with a drug and I was in peril. So a lot of times our experience mm-hmm. can bring about doubts just to be a little extra cautious. Mm-hmm. But we, you know, it's so important. Like, for example, me having that situation, you know, being in peril and having that experience that I had, which was not a good one, it doesn't harm me today. Like, I don't sort mm-hmm. of paint the whole world with that brush where a person actually did that to me, to intentionally cause harm to me.
Yeah.
So, but it also makes me aware that people are capable of doing that kind of thing. And when you don't know somebody.
Yeah, but does it go this far? Like, do you go, okay, thank you for the drink. I'm not going to drink it. Or do you drink it and you know, take the drink and go on your instinct? Ha! Well, how about that one?
Well, okay, when I was doing a lot of Top 40 band gigs, we would constantly get drinks sent up to the stage. And I would, you know, people get very boisterous and they just want you to party and they want you to join them. And you're kind of in a situation where you're hired by a nightclub or a pub. And you're supposed to be the party band, and I don't drink and I don't drug. So, you know, I am a party band, you know, I want to get people going and I want them to enjoy the time, but I don't want them, you know, I'm mm-hmm. not going to do it, you know, drink for the sake of them feeling okay because I'm drinking with them. And they're very, very pushy, especially when they're drunk. Mm-hmm. So I would just take the drink. A lot of times they were shooters and, you know, I just would tip, you know, get, you know, put the hand up and say, hey, thank you, man. And then just kind of, you know, coyly put it to the side. And, give it to someone who wanted it, whether it's somebody in the audience that I knew or, you know, sometimes we played with people that did drink. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think the most important thing is always to be self-aware and to always honor yourself. And if it gets to a situation where you're going to cause a bit of friction, you just don't put yourself down. You don't say, okay, I'm going to make that person feel more comfortable, mm-hmm. but I'm going to make myself feel less comfortable. Yeah. You know, that's where self-love comes in. We've talked about self-love. And love is a big part of doubt, is getting to a place of, I'm going to read this because I liked it. It came together with the doubt subject. Start with love, be still with love, and work with love. And I think that makes sense when we are dealing with our doubts. I think it's really important, whatever the doubt is. We're talking about our own personal experience last night with this gentleman. He's obviously drunk. He's very friendly, very flirtatious, wants to buy us drinks. We say we don't drink, and he kind of goes, well, sir, usual reaction, like, why not? Okay.
Yeah.
And you don't have to explain it, but okay, I'll get you a Coke. So we you know, then we're kind of going, you know, let's just make sure this is all kosher.
Let's make sure there's nothing, you know, special in there. Or,
you know, so that situation was us kind of both together making a decision about what are we going to do? And so what did we do? I decided
that I'd take a sip to save you in case that happened.
I took a sip right away because I could taste, I would know if something had alcohol in it.
But not if it was like some kind of weird drug.
Yeah, that's why.
I figured I wasn't feeling good anyway, so I'll just take the first sip and see if I feel better. And if I did, then
And if you end up on the floor, then I'm not supposed to drink my drink.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking the fall.
You're welcome.
I think it's important when we have doubt. I want to also say, because we talked about Buddha and, you know, we talk about the masters, and I'm going to bring up Jesus here too, because I was looking up quotes from the masters. I thought, oh, I'll put Jesus in there. And I really like this quote because this is pretty cool. And I remember this from my days back in when I was a Christian, a strong Christian. You know, these quotes, and they're really cool to read now with my new kind of perspective because they make a lot of sense to me. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. I remember these passages because I used to think, well, how would I, you know, okay, yeah, right. As if I'm going to say, okay, mountain, get up and just jump into the sea and it will be done for me. Because my mind can't comprehend or conceive of a mountain actually being dislodged and going into a sea.
I can.
Well, okay. Or when are you going to do it for me?
Well, you have to give me a bit of time. I've been busy. I've been working 7 days a week. Well, six. Thanks.
Well, you know what? We have no loss of mountains around us, Ash. If you know, feel free to just pick a mountain of your choice.
It'll take me a while.
But my point is that I like the fact it says ask. When you have zero doubt, no doubt, believe and it will be done for you.
That's pretty cool.
Well, the connotation there is that it's not just a solo effort.
Yeah.
Right? It will be done for you. Mm-hmm. So I like that too, because it automatically brings into the picture that we're working with something. Mm-hmm. We're not just working alone. We're working with something.
Yeah.
Now, whatever you choose to call that something, I like to think of it as pure love, God, source, creator. Eckhart Tolle doesn't even like to use the word God. And I can understand why, because he says that it's been overused. But not to say that someone says God is wrong. There is no wrong or right. It's just whatever you're comfortable with, and allowing each other just to have our own words for what we feel that we want to call it.
Well, exactly. It's about, I mean, everybody is going to have certain and different variations of doubt. I mean, there's people who are just walking around with paranoia, you know?
Yeah, but there's also mental illness that can bring extreme paranoia and doubts.
Yeah,
I mean, we're
true.
Talking about, we're not talking about mental illness. We're talking about being in our right minds and suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Doubt can bring us suffering, but let's just say experiencing.
Yeah.
Doubt. Now, some people have more than others. Some people have more doubt and are more hesitant than other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that the people who are more doubtful,
mm-hmm,
tend to be overall more afraid of life.
Agreed.
Okay?
Agreed.
The people that have less amount of doubt have a more connection, like a direct connection, faith and trust,
yeah,
in the process,
yeah,
of life.
Agreed.
Right?
Agreed.
So if you find yourself feeling a lot of doubt in every area, for example, you might be thinking, okay, I'm not a good public speaker. I can't speak, even though Joe asked me to speak on something I know very much about. I'm just going to put my foot in it. I just can't do it. And oh my God, I can't drive in the snow.
I can't drive in the snow.
Because I've never done it. So I don't know if I can do it, because I can do it.
I'm not even very good on concrete in the summer.
True.
Okay, fine.
You're
okay.
Pretty good. Again, see, here you go. Here's me as your friend.
Okay, fine.
Right? We can help each other through doubts. Here we are. We're examples. I can reflect back to you and say, you know what, Ash, I've driven with you. If I thought that you were, you know, a bad driver, I probably would say you might want to be careful or not go at all. But that being said, I know that you're a competent driver. I know that you are cautious, and I feel that you'll be fine.
Thank you.
And if you're not fine, if you get to the point you get in the
car, I'll have a charged cell phone so you can come and help me.
I can dig you out. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to be a problem, but it's something. See, here you've been presented with, you can actually get better in the snow.
Well, that's true.
Right?
And you know what I wanted to mention to everybody right now? Totally off topic again, but not really at all. We're almost at the halfway point of our radio show, and I wanted to mention that I think on the front page it still says that it's listed that we're doing a rerun. But we are not doing a rerun, so in case anybody's listening, it's live. Call in, please, and I would really appreciate if you use the number 888-627-6008. That is 888-627-6008. If you want to call in, go for it. We're just going to keep on talking here, and reminder, it is not a rerun. I just checked
we're
the
live,
page. And,
live,
yeah, we are live.
Live. Unless you're listening to us on January 1st, 2013.
Yeah.
Then it's a rerun.
Because right now, it's December 16th, and it's a Sunday in 2011.
Yes. And I wanted to give credit to Wendy Chadwick, who said this is how she deals with fear and doubt. I thought it was cool. Ask where the fear and doubt comes from. Is it your intuitive self or is it your fearful self? Ask that question and listen to the very first thought that comes into your head and believe that one.
That's cool. I like that one.
That's actually a really good one for anybody trying to get in touch with their intuitive voice.
Mm-hmm.
Trust the first thought.
Intuition.
First thought.
Yeah, I've used that before. I like that.
Well, I wanted to talk about, I mean, we're talking a little bit about self-doubt and having doubt in our fellow man and woman, but like we doubt others, we can doubt our divine life path even. We can even doubt our purpose in life. So many mm-hmm. people, I was talking to, I can't remember who it was yesterday, around the holidays, how, you know, this is a really joyous, beautiful, wonderful time because, you know, we focus on love and generosity and giving and family and mm-hmm. friends. But then you have the flip side of it where you've got, you know, a really high suicide rate occurring because there's suddenly people are feeling.
And people are dying. Why do some people die in December?
What do you?
I don't know. Just like,
Are you taking a poll? Did you do a study?
My cat died.
When did your uncle die?
Well, he died the end of November.
So you've had another death, you know, of a very close family member. There has been a lot of death. I was saying this to in the last 2 years.
There's been a lot of December deaths.
Well, I don't know about December. I guess, yeah, because last year your grandfather died December.
Yeah, and then my other grandparents died December a different year.
I don't know. Maybe that's something else you should look into.
I'm going to take December off every year and just hide.
All the more reason to, you know, go to university and get your master's and do your thesis on December deaths.
No, I'll just put it on Tumblr or something.
You can start
blogging. It's free. I'm not going to go pay like $200 million to go to school. I'm smart enough. I'm smart enough for my own standards.
Well, I want to talk about what Buddha said. I want to talk about how doubt can be destructive.
Okay.
And not only to ourselves, but to our relationships, because Buddha talks about our relationships.
And tell people that they should at least listen and call in if they feel inclined to talk about anything about doubt. One, two, three, go.
We'll just wait.
Okay. Buddha, 1, 2, 3, go.
Well, I just wanted to talk about doubt and how it severs relationships and can cause problems with our relationships, because a lot of times in my own, I speak from my own experience, it's mistrust, right? And if someone doesn't feel that they can trust, or they're doubting a person, and if it doesn't come from that intuitive self that we were talking about in terms of your own safety, your personal safety, and that doesn't just mean even with strangers, it could be even with partners. I mean, there's times when partners are abusive and your intuitive self is something to be heeded. But it's important, Eckhart Tolle has when it comes to negativity or doubt, and I like this and I'm going to say this because it's a really good guide.
Okay.
When negativity or doubt takes over, he says, observe the thought, observe the emotion, and be present. In that instance, like if you take those three very simple directives, you observe your thought. Let's just talk about a typical one. I doubt that my partner is being faithful.
Mm-hmm.
All right? You observe the thought. Oh my God, you know, I see them flirting or someone's flirting with them. I don't know. Let's just pull something out of the hat here. Observe your thought. Where is it coming from? I've noticed that a lot of times when we're doubting people, it's because we're doing something.
Yeah, it's inner reflection.
I know a lot of times if you look at it, it's a direct mirror reflection of what we may personally be doing.
I've seen that a lot, actually.
Yeah. So observe the thought. What's the thought? You observe the emotion around it. How do I feel about this? What does it feel like to feel this doubt moment? Because a lot of times doubt is just basically fear that takes us to the past or takes us to the future. And who are we? I had a very wise doctor tell me once, who said, who are you to know what the future holds? So stop that like catastrophic thinking, going way too far in the future. Mm-hmm. Like I know exactly what will happen,
mm-hmm.
which is the Rolling Stone thought process, where you start with, okay, if I tell so-and-so to get out of my face right now, then he's going to be angry or she's going to be angry, and then they're going to tell this person, and that person won't like me, and then I'm going to lose my job because they're directly related to the guy who owns the company. And then if I lose my job, I won't have money to pay my rent or my mortgage, and then if I don't have money to pay my rent or my mortgage, I'm going to end up on the street, and then I'm homeless. And it all starts with the initial, if I tell so-and-so to back off, or I'm not really appreciating what's going on right now. Mm-hmm. See, that's my point, is that kind of Rolling Stone thinking, how we go from one thing to the future.
Who is the ultimate queen of that?
Not me.
Me?
I don't really do that. I kind of got a handle on it.
I used to do it. I'm talking about me.
I like that you're saying this, because I've been saying, how do you know what the future holds?
Yeah, because I've had anxiety for the past little bit, just like anxiety that I don't really know how to get a hold on, because I don't really know where it's coming from. Because I think it's coming from being tired and such, but I mean, it's, I go on this roller coaster and then I take whoever's with me on it. But it's not that, it's not that bad. Like, I'm not that out of sorts. I haven't been feeling well either, so it's kind of everything. But,
yeah.
But it's just, you know, it's been, and then everything that's gone on. But I don't know. I just, I understand that because like, every worry takes up space, even if it's just stemming from one. So, you know, I keep stretching my head space for all this worry, and it seems so much more full than it needs to be.
So then what's your solution, Ash?
To go to sleep for a while.
Okay, say you have enough rest and you still have this dilemma.
Play Tony Hawk.
That's escapism, though.
I know. But I think, mean, it can, you know what the weirdest thing is, though? No, what? I would like to defend that.
No, I was going to say.
I think when I play video games.
But what I'm not saying it's totally escapism, mm-hmm. but it is one form of it. That I was about to say that, mm-hmm. that it's escapism. And that's where you get to kind of go in your head and go, what am I doing this for? Am I avoiding a responsibility, or I'm actually just like chilling bakery. Out a little bit?
Like the bakery game. Bakery Story on iPhone is so good. Add me as your neighbor. My bakery is called Hologram.
That's right. There you go. You know, it's a Hologram show. It's a Hologram bakery. But yeah, it's good that you said that, because it's also, you're recognizing that you're having, that physically you're feeling down. So when you're physically feeling down, we're more susceptible to
sometimes escapism,
fear and anxiety. And
it is, but sometimes escapism, like, especially for me, like, say if I, like, I'm so busy, so if I actually have the time to sit down and play a video game, it's like, holy crap, wow, right? So, but then I'm playing, yeah, but I'm kind of going idle. It lets me shut my head off, and then I think of good ideas and things. So sometimes escapism, if you can just take the edge off of what you're doing and have a little bit of escapism, it can slow your mind down enough to get a grip on things.
Well, that's true. And I would just like to say that you basically, it sounds like you put yourself in a meditative state.
Mm-hmm.
And meditation is hugely important.
I'm doing ollies and I'm being like Tony Hawk.
Oh, you're doing all, you're talking the video game stuff. You're talking skateboard slang, man.
I'm talking Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 4 or American Wasteland. Thank you very much.
You're funny. But meditation is what we get into when we get into these meditative states, whether it's you're playing a video game and getting to that place of kind of, I see meditation like a river. And we all have access to this river. It's a flowing stream of consciousness that does actually bring us ideas and solutions, right? So that's when it's not escapism. But we can become escapists when we are avoiding, like, you know, that's, again, if we doubt ourselves too much, or we doubt even our worth, our self-worth, or our self-importance.
Well, my wise friend from America once told me, he said, sometimes even the deepest depths of doubt come from knowing. Because when you know something, and when you're super, super sure of yourself, you almost question that you're too sure of yourself.
Oh my gosh, that's like the circular doubt argument.
Mm-hmm. It's so true, though.
Yeah, I get that. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the basic truth about doubt, though, is that it is fear. And I think that doubt can stop us from making decisions and stop us from being proactive. And I think it's really important for us to, it's not about pushing doubt away. It's not about stuffing it down or pushing it away. I really feel that it's about acknowledging it and then moving past it and taking action. And, you know, how to let go of doubt? Number one, just let go.
Mm-hmm.
Let go, surrender.
Because if you're doubting already, if you don't let go, you're going to keep churning and churning and churning in your head. If you think of, well, what happens if I let go? And if I let go and that happens, what else is going to happen? Because then I shouldn't have let go at all. But then maybe if I should have just, you know, stuck with it a little bit longer, you know, maybe a better outcome would have happened. And, but, you know, maybe that outcome wouldn't be what I want, because, you know, maybe that's going to bring about this whole other thing. And then I'm not going to get to go here and I'm not going to get to go there. You see what I mean? I'm good at this.
Because you do it.
I know.
And this is exactly what I was saying before about starting with the, you know, what if I tell so-and-so to back off you know, and then suddenly you're homeless.
Yeah.
That's just the chain of events that we can actually take. You know, we doubt our decision making. And so letting go and surrendering and having faith and trust in the fact that nothing that we do, any decision we make ultimately is a wrong decision.
Mm-hmm.
Once we sort of allow ourselves just to the freedom to make decisions and not label them as right or wrong. I mean, maybe we won't get the outcome that we were hoping for, but if we can go past that and have faith and trust that this is the outcome that we needed to have happen, then that's also empowering.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And we can empower ourselves by, you know, just moving through doubt.
Exactly.
And kind of being on the other end of it, the other side of it, and going, hey, I'm glad I made a decision. And maybe it didn't turn out exactly the way I thought it would. And it probably would be better, or the better choice for us. That's ultimately what I see happens in my life.
Mm-hmm.
This person, Steve, Sherry Levy, this is really cool because I love acronyms and I love things because it helps us to remember. She says doubts are fear. And her acronym for fear is forgetting everything's all right. I like that. Forgetting everything's all right. So, it, you know, I've got my own, which is F everything and run.
That's
false
a good one.
Evidence appearing real. But I like that one, forgetting everything's all right. So when we're in a place of doubt or fear, we've forgotten that we really are okay.
Yeah.
And it's hard to tell someone when they're going through a deep grieving that everything's okay, because for them it's not. But it's a transition and it's a moving through and getting through things.
Mm-hmm.
And once we kind of get to the, we're never really truly on the other side of it. Well, once we get through it to a point where we can sort of understand it on a level that we can't when we're in the depths of it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Then it makes a little more sense.
We have a caller and her name is Mom online too.
Hello, Mom.
Hello. How are you?
We're good. You've been listening to the show?
Yes.
And
I have a comment to make about doubt. When you have, like, and this is just pertaining me and grief, you know, that, you know, my cousin died, Ash's uncle, and you know, we just lost our cat this weekend. And how, you know, you always seem to preach to other people. You know, when they're going through the grief, that, you know, and you really stand by what you believe, that you know, the soul does go on, and the person, that is left behind, you know, what they should hang on to make themselves feel consoled a little bit. And then when it happens to you, it's just, you know, it's almost like you don't believe it anymore sometimes. Like, you know, you get afraid, you get fear, you get, is it really true? And how come I'm not feeling this? You know, you get a doubt. There's a doubt from being certain at one time to being uncertain, you know, when you're in the situation. That's what I feel.
Well,
you
definitely.
Know, like with Randy, when he passed away, it was just like being hit with a bat, because it just happened, it came out of nowhere. And, you know, you're first of all, you're believing that everything's going to be okay, and you're telling everyone around you that's petrified that it's going to be okay, and then it turns out not to be okay. And, you know, it just, you know, everybody counts on you to be, you know, the strong one and the one that has the intuition that everything is going to be okay. It's just really hard to explain.
I understand it. It's what Ash was saying about the knowing. Remember what you're saying? The certainty. And, you know, it's also about each of us being able to reframe our idea of what is okay. You know, when
we
say,
but you don't.
So go ahead.
But what I'm saying is when you're in grief yourself, you're grasping for anything, because the beliefs that you had before, you doubt. you know, because you're feeling so terrible and lost that you can't think straight. And I think that's where doubt comes in there. I don't know.
Well, of course, it would have to come in because you don't even really, like, you're not thinking really on a straight line. You're kind of thinking in fluctuations.
Well, that as well as that when grief actually affects the body and affects us physiologically, and we were talking about how when we're feeling lower physically, I mean, mm-hmm. everything is even more powerful, and it just knocks us right off our center.
Yes.
And so I think that's part of it, of course, because when we're feeling such a depth, like your heart is being broken, you're feeling such a depth of grief and loss that you feel like your chest can't even stop squeezing. I understand that type of grief because I've had it.
Yes.
And when you're there, of course, you know, you're so emotionally entrenched and physically kind of overtaken that presence of pain takes away the knowledge that we already have because it's such a focus.
It's like, right.
It's like when you have, say your body is in perfect condition and then suddenly you step on a piece of glass. Mm-hmm. All you do is focus on the foot where the glass is, mm-hmm. right? And you don't mm-hmm. even, you just feel badly because you're hurt. You're hurting. You forget that everything else is feeling great. It's sort of the same kind of thing with grief is we're just really, we're feeling it so acutely that we're forgetting, we're forgetting what we already know. Like you're talking about, you know personally about how souls continue on and you know all of this personally, but even knowing it, when you're in that depth, it becomes a barrier to you even seeing it because it is so acute. Yeah. It's your glass in your heel.
And it becomes a doubt.
Well, definitely, but it doesn't. But to doubt doesn't mean that we're failing. To doubt doesn't mean that we're wrong or that we're bad or that, you know, that our life is now no longer making sense or that we've regressed. To doubt isn't to go backwards. It's just a natural feeling. It's a natural occurrence. And what we're talking about is just to take doubt and move through it. And because if you look at any experience you've had when you've lost any other member of your family who were really close to you, like your aunt and your baba and your father, and you think about the pain at that time and where you are now even with them, and of course it brings back. It doesn't go away. I'm not saying it does. But you have a new kind of freedom that you didn't have when you were in the acute stages of it. It's kind of the same thing, and you probably had doubts then that you moved through and came to the other side of. And we have to.
I know, and it just you know what? It's so true that it's physical. I mean, it's emotional, but it takes on the physical, the grief when it takes on physical. It's just crippling.
And it is, and that's why self-care is so important when you're grieving. And when you feel ill,
you can't eat, you know, like it's just, and then that fails and then this and then, you know, and then you have a good moment. So then you eat something, you know, and I find too, and I really find this, you know, and more so now than in any grief that I've ever been in is the more you cry, the more healing it is. It's almost like a salve because, you know, you cry and your heart aches. And then as soon as that crying stops, then it's like, like you feel like, you know, it's an emotion that's almost like an ointment.
It is. It's
crying's not bad.
I think crying is a great thing, but everybody has to be comfortable crying, right? And some people are comfortable crying with others around. Some people need to be private with their tears. I mean, crying is definitely very, very helpful. But I think a lot of people are afraid to cry because they are afraid of losing it completely. So sometimes people, will, you know, push it down. But I definitely don't think it's a good idea to ever push anything down. Our immediate reaction to others crying around us is we want to soothe them and put our arms around them and soothe them. But what I've learned just through counseling and everything is it's really important that we don't. Because oftentimes you let them cry and then you soothe. But sometimes you just have to let it out without being consoled too quickly.
Yeah, that's true.
It's really important for it to actually come out, right?
Yes.
Instead of consoling.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's really important for it to come out. And the consolation can happen after. But sometimes the best gift we can give to somebody who's in extreme grief and weeping is to allow them the space to weep without trying to console them. And because a lot of times we're consoling them with our presence. We don't actually have to physically touch them. And a lot of times we think, a lot of us are uncomfortable with other people having emotion. So the consolation is not only wanting them to feel better, but ourselves. Because how many people can truly handle another person's intense grief? I think a lot of us can't.
I can't. Handle I wish it. I could.
Well, I think you can, but I think it's just a process, too. But that's one thing I've learned.
It is a process.
That I used to always want to console, but I consciously allow people to cry for a bit first and then console.
Mm-hmm.
And it is physical, and it's recognizing, you know, when you have some good time, then you have your tea or you have your bit of soup. And then when you don't feel like eating, you still want to have self-care. I think it's important. I know you don't, but even if it's something small, I think it's important for us to keep ourselves physically together. It helps. It helps. But, you know, doubting, I think, you know, again, Janice, doubts are, you know, our fear. We forget everything's all right because we just think nothing's all right. Mm-hmm. Suddenly our whole world has crumbled and nothing's okay anymore.
Exactly.
And it's okay to feel that way, but it's also important for us to remind ourselves it's not real. Just because it's a thought doesn't mean we have to believe it to be true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? So sometimes getting through anything is just hanging on by the skin of our teeth going, I know that it's going to be okay. I know it's going to be okay. Even if it doesn't feel like it's ever going to be okay, I'm just hanging on. And how many people give up? I think about suicide because that's something that's, you know, been in my life, and I think about people, it just breaks my heart when I see people take their own lives before they actually have the opportunity to see that it was going to be okay. You know, it's just reminding ourselves that, you know, look at the strength that you have. You are so filled with inner strength, and allowing yourself to be weak and then allowing yourself to be strong. It's kind of like it's like riding a wave, you know?
Yeah, it is exactly like that.
There's a woman, her name's Pema Chodron, and she says to be fully alive and completely awake is to be continually thrown out of the nest. And that's essentially what we all are, is we're being thrown out of the nest because we are alive and we are awake. And there we can have gratitude, right? But I think it's important for us not to judge ourselves when we go through any of our processes. And it's important for us not to block ourselves off, just to allow whatever's happening to happen. And, you know, it is important for us to reach out, too, because in times like this, of course, we need each other. But it's also just having that sense of consolation with your own, you know, creator, with your own, again, getting back to the divine life plan, that, you know, believing that everything is truly all right.
Yeah, that's true.
And just, feel everything and allow the doubt. Yeah. It's okay to have doubts, but just don't let the doubt run your life. Don't let the doubt overtake you.
I know, but the doubt when you're in despair is you know what I mean? Like when when you're not in despair is different than when you're in despair.
I understand. I also understand that, you know, despair is something you've had experience with before and you've gotten out of it. right? And we
yes,
all
and you always do, and I know I will, you know, but it's just, you know, when you skin your knees, and it's just, it takes a while.
I know. It's not about pushing yourself. It's not about pushing yourself. It's just, it's about cutting yourself some slack, too.
Yeah. Yeah, cutting slack. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. You know, I'm not perfect. I'm not, you know.
Who is?
That's exactly what it is. Sometimes, you know, you're harder on yourself than you should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes we just allow our heads to kind of tell us how we should be instead of allowing our hearts and our emotions just to be what they are.
Yeah,
I wish the life had one of those websites like Snopes, you know, Snopes? Or what's it called? You know, the one where I got scared by the finger fungus?
Yeah.
Well, I wish life had that for every decision that you made. Like, is this real?
Oh,
look
God.
It up on Snopes, no? Okay, then I'll do the other thing.
But then that would take all the excitement out of being alive and living this life. Because who wants to know what's around the corner?
I'm simple and plain. That's fine for me.
I still think you want to know.
Not really. I'm happy. Not really. Just give me, tell me everything. I know when to prepare. I'm happy. Just give me. You know what?
What? You know what? She wasn't happy unless she knew what the present under the tree was. She didn't like surprises. She'd guess things and be right.
Well,
and then, you know, and then Christmas morning, it would be like the wind knocked out of the sails. Like, you know, now what?
No, it wasn't. Because I would want to know what they are, so I'd have something so good to look forward to. And I already knew.
Yeah,
that,
I know.
Like, when I found out what it was, I was so happy. And I was happy to wait and finally get to touch it.
I know, but it's different when you open it up and you go, oh, my God, and said, I want to open up that globe. You know?
Yeah. Well, it's also different for you as the giver because you want to have that kind of excitement, you know, for her.
Yeah. And me, I just, surprises. I love surprises. I don't want to know.
Well, if you want surprises for Christmas, don't go downstairs and look under the two coffee tables in the big blue bag because that's where your presents are.
No. And you know what? I wouldn't. I wouldn't because I like surprises.
You can trust her.
And don't flip over the cardboard thing by the TV.
Nope.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, Janice. Thank you.
You're
we
welcome.
Love you, and you are strong, and you're awesome.
Yeah. And it's okay to doubt, but recognize that doubts are just thoughts, and we don't have to believe in them, right?
I know, but sometimes when you're in the muck, it's hard to see.
Oh, of course, but that's why, you know, even just talking about it helps us get out of it.
Yeah.
Just allowing us to
it
to be felt gets us out of it.
Yes.
A part of this life experience is to feel it, too. So it's not like, you know, we're not supposed to kind of come in this life and just, you know, skim through everything and not feel any pain and not feel any joy. It's all part of it.
There is a plus side, remember. You get a free MP3 of Holograms Fun Sun.
Yay!
I do?
Congratulations,
yes,
Janice!
When?
You get a free MP3.
Did I win something?
Yeah. Yes, Fun Sun by Hologram.
I won it?
Yes!
Yay! See, that's a nice surprise.
Oh, there you go. See, we surprised you. Okay, we love you, Janice. And we're going to say goodnight
because
our show's coming to an end.
Okay.
And thank you so much for calling in.
Okay.
Okay, bye. Big hugs.
Bye.
Bye. Well, that was our show.
That was
our dilemma of doubt. Thank you, Janice, for calling in.
And we covered a lot today.
I think so, too. I want to finish with another Bible verse. Now, I'm just saying the Bible verse because there's a lot of wisdom in a lot of books. But
and
I'm
then
not,
I'll end it with a quote.
And I want to say, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind.
That's a good one.
It's very true. See, I'm talking wisdom. There's some wisdom in the Bible.
And I would like to say that's true. And I would like to end the show with this quote. The time to hesitate is through by the Doors.
No time to wallow in the mire.
If I were to say to you,
girl, we couldn't get much higher.
Well, not really.
Come on, light my fire.
I was just talking about the hesitation part. Do not hesitate. The time is through. Okay?
And I think it's important just to recognize, you know, again, come to a place of self-love, recognize and value your own importance, and that you're not alone in doubting. Just move through it. Recognize it's just based in fear. Question whether it comes from instinct or from the fearful self. And just be in your present moment. And that's good for all of us to remember. Let's all just be in our present, because in the present moment, there is no fear.
This is the strangest life I've ever known.
We love you very much. Go kiss a tree, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye from Hologram.
Goodbye. Enjoy your day.
Happy holidays.